Every year, the Board of Commissioners, they elect a new chairman.
Correct.
And vice chair, right?
Chair and vice each January.
And so yesterday was the opportunity to do that. And is it just, you know, the five commissioners basically just vote for somebody?
Correct.
And then whoever gets the most votes gets it, or?
Well, the nomination process has evolved. The board chose to go to a nomination system where mm-hmm. you don't second and vote. You simply nominate, and you can nominate multiple people, and then you have a voice vote. And so in the event for chair, my good friend, Commissioner Woodruff, whom I've worked with since I first was on the board, and he was nominated as well, but declined. He's got a workload that he didn't think he could justify being chair and do it service, and he respectfully declined the nomination. But he had nominated me initially anyway, and I appreciate his support, and I gladly accepted that, and the rest of the board was gracious enough to approve as well. So here I am.
All right. Have you been chairman before?
I was. I was in chair in 21.
Okay.
And I served as vice for Bill Henry the year prior to that.
Okay.
Commissioner Henry was on the board when I came on, as I say, I served as vice for him, and then mm-hmm. and then in 21 I was chair.
So you have the experience
I
5 years ago, and that helps, obviously, you know what you're getting
well
into.
It does, and you know there's additional things you have to look after, and a lot of housekeeping and trying to kind of guide the agenda to some degree, and not that you exclude things. I mean, you want to be inclusive. If things are important to the board and they want a voice on it, you try to accommodate that. But the chair does kind of set the tone of the meeting and guide, you know, what's a priority on the agenda if you've got limited time.
Mm-hmm.
So that comes into play. But
you're kind of in charge of when a debate should either continue or you need to move on to the next thing. Huh?
Well, yeah, I think it's probably up along the lines of herding cats. you know, and I'm just as guilty as the rest of the herd. Sometimes we get off on tangents and you know, we have to be redirected and say, okay, colleagues, we have to move on.
I'm sure Michaela would probably agree with you there.
I'm sure. She that's probably one of the few things that probably gave her heartburn was trying to herd the rest of us around.
So as far as the vice chair, who's your vice chair?
Chris Bruns is vice.
Chris,
year. Yeah, and he is, he's also served, he's never served actually as vice chair. He has served one term as a chairman a few years back and has never actually been vice, but so he's going to serve as vice, and he's very involved in county government and understands all the nuances on how things operate. So he'll be a good vice if I'm out of town. I have confidence he'll take care of things.
Mm-hmm. And did you appoint him or ask
him? No, actually the same nomination process.
Okay, so he has to be nominated.
Correct.
And then the board
and
votes
then, he was nominated and selected as well. So the board ultimately made that a unanimous as well.
Mm-hmm. And then how many are any of you up for re-election this year?
Actually, Michaela and I our terms are up this year, and we've both refiled to serve. And good Lord willing, if the voters think we've done a good job, boy, we'll get to serve another term. So we'll see how that goes. But this cycle, the row officials are all up, and districts 2 and 3, which Michaela's in 3 and I'm in district 2.
Okay. All right. Good to kind of set the table with that. Let's launch into some of the things you dealt with in yesterday's meeting. And if I don't bring something up that you wanted to bring up, let me know here. I'm just kind of, I highlighted some things going through, starting with the adoption of a resolution setting Tuesday, February 17th as the date for a public hearing on the potential vacation of Vieira Avenue.
Yeah, the Vieira Avenue, we've had that discussion, and to refresh everyone's memory, that road was part of the interlocal with the city for maintenance and so forth, and they balked at putting it back on this year. And of course, we balked the other direction. But at the end of the day, with annexation next door to the Vieira property, it was going to impact Mr. Barrera's property line. Mm-hmm. And he actually requested that, after a lot of wrangling back and forth with us in the city, that if we would just simply give it back, vacate it, he'd be happier. So we're going to accommodate that, and it's essentially going to be a moot point as far as maintenance, because it won't be on anybody's maintenance anymore. It'll just be Mr. Vieira's. Well, it's kind of just a foregone conclusion that this is going to happen, Corey, but we simply dropped the ball and didn't get it posted for 3 consecutive weeks, because the public hearing must be, by statute, advertised for 3 weeks. That didn't happen, so we had to set a new date for the public hearing. So we pushed it back to give us sufficient time to make sure we post it three weeks in a row. So that's in the process right now.
Okay. Well, it seems like it's going to be good, if you go ahead and vote for that vacation. It's going to be good for all parties, because he wants to take care of it. He's willing to take care of it. And the city doesn't want to take care of it.
Right. It's going to solve.
County's okay with giving up the maintenance.
Right. And it was not done properly initially, and that's why we had some back and forth within our board and a split vote when we recognized it as a county road. It's been county property, whether we like it or not, since the deed was filed. But anyway, this will clean it up, and we'll just move on.
It'll make it all official, and all the parties will be happy, and hopefully it won't come up again.
No,
for a long,
I don't
time.
Don't think so. I think it's off everybody's radar from here on out.
So one of your functions as a Board of Commissioners is to put on the hat and operate as a Board of Equalization. And as part of that, yesterday, just like you did for the overall Board of Commissioners, you have to elect a chair for the year and
Correct.
A vice chair. So how'd that go yesterday?
Well, that's, since I've been on the 7 years that I've been through reorganization, that's pretty much a foregone conclusion. If whoever's chair and vice are going to be chair and vice of the Board of Equalization.
Okay. I wondered about that, if it was the same.
You formally have to do it, but, it doesn't make any sense to have two sets of
different chairs and vice chairs.
It makes it a lot more fluid, and just move on and recess and go in and do your business in the Board of Equalization, adjourn and reconvene as the Board of Commissioners and move on to the next agenda item.
Most of that time is a pretty cut and dried most weeks, not controversial usually most of the time.
Most of that's very much housekeeping. Yesterday, for example, there was some assessments on a communications tower, and it impacted 2 different years. So we had 2 real estate corrections that I had to sign, the assessor brought to us. And in that situation, that's pretty typical of what happens. Something gets registered wrong, or a lot line is drawn in the wrong place, so you have 2 parcels impacted. But yesterday was just simply 2 tax years of the same parcel that were impacted by the wrong value. So we fixed that, basically adopted her recommendation to fix that.
Then you have groups requesting their vehicles be tax exempt because they're nonprofits.
Yeah, and that's through the treasurer's office. The treasurer reviews those, and they're bound by statute, and that's how we evaluate those. If they meet the statutory requirements, then typically they get approved, and if they don't, then sometimes we balk, but very, very seldom do we balk. The treasurer brings those forth and has a recommendation on that form, and as is typical, Sherry signed off on those. I think we only had the one entity yesterday that had several vehicles applying. And I think it was Agency on Aging, actually, if I recall. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, yeah, those are typically, and just usually just a housekeeping thing. And, you know, we get various churches and charitable organizations and Red Cross. And as I say, there's not a lot of controversy there because you've got right. pretty good guidelines from the statute to say if they qualify.
Yeah. Pretty yep. hard to argue the statute
exactly.
if you're abiding by that. You're
so a lot of times the Board of Equalization yeah. only lasts a matter of a couple minutes and 3, 4, 5 minutes and we're out.
And then you put your Board of Commissioners hats back on and conduct more business. And
that's
yesterday
right.
you discussed and considered appointments of several department heads for Lincoln County. So tell us how that went.
Yeah, that's sometimes that's segregated out if someone... It's typically a board member wants to discuss individual appointed persons and their job performance on a one-on-one basis. Sometimes we've segregated that out in past years, but this year we basically the board is very happy with the folks that we have working in those positions, and we couldn't see any reason to formally go through 4 or 5 motions here with and votes for, you know, superintendent and
kind of lump several together then.
So simply with one motion, we reappointed all those folks. So.
That includes highway superintendent, the Region 51 emergency management director, noxious weed superintendent, and veteran service officer.
Correct. Jason Schultz with the roads and Tom Gann at veteran service and let's see who else we got. Oh, Todd Herndon at Weeds and our buddy at Region 51. And I'm forgetting his name. He'll probably hit me over the head. We're forgetting him.
or give you an aging joke that, yeah, I'll forgive you because you're getting up there.
He told me he was going to put me on speed dial yesterday, so he'll probably call me before I get out of the building.
Probably. You'll have a message waiting as soon as you get off the air.
Brandon Myers, actually.
Right. And then you discussed and consider setting annual salaries for those same entities.
Yeah, we did. The budget constraints that we're going through and we're going to continue to go through weigh heavily on me. And a year ago, those folks were all reappointed, all the same good people. Mm-hmm. They were given a COLA in the budget process, cost of living, and the rest of the board opted for a merit raise a year ago, and I did vote no on that. And yesterday I did remind the board that, you know, what I want to do and what is practical are two different things in my book. And I cautioned that, you know, I don't think we have room for merit raises in this budget process. This is still tax dollars we're talking about. So what you want to do and what you practically can accomplish are two different
things. It's not like you're a boss of your own company and you can make decisions and based on merit.
That's the way I view it
yeah.
and always have. And so, but the board opted for a 2.82 COLA, which I think is what we penciled into our budget in the process last fall. And so that kind of was in a line with where I thought we should be, too. So it was a unanimous vote to go 2.82 and leave it at that.
Okay. And then lump that together with the row officials' salaries, too. What'd you decide
that? There was a lot of intense debate about that.
Because that's over the next 4 years, starting with 2027.
It is, and you don't have a lot of wiggle room on that once you set those, and that's kind of the idea. That's why it's designed that way, so there's not, you know, quote-unquote political motivations to move those around. You set them and you leave them alone. And so it's basically done prior to the next election cycle, and so they don't come into effect until the beginning of the next term for any of these folks, including the Board of Commissioners. But so we had 3 different potential resolutions before us. After much wrangling, much discussion the last few weeks, We were up against the timeline as far as when those have to be adopted, right, which is the 15th of this month. So yesterday it was do or die. And essentially the fundamental difference was I asked for a flat 2% for the four-year timeline, which would be 27 through 30.
2% raise each year.
2% each year, okay. Not a larger move in year one. Now, I have to say that Jerry Woodruff and I lost that vote 3-2, and I can't speak for Jerry's no, but my no was not that I think these row officials are doing a unsatisfactory job. In fact, I think but quite the opposite. But again, it's dollars and cents, Corey, and the motivation was some wanted it to be 8.27 year one and then 2 or 3%, which it ultimately ended up 8.27 first year and then 2% across the board for those folks. Now, I want you to also understand the county board unanimously agreed that we are flatlining our compensation. We don't have any increase at all.
Right.
These 4 years will be the same. And so that was also something I advocated for early on, and absolutely the whole entire board was on board with that. And so
they're going to bump
that
up 8.8% next year.
Yeah.
And then the remaining 3 years will
It'll be 2%. 2%, yeah.
So was this, do you think the yes votes were motivated by kind of catching up with the counties that have like size as Lincoln County or attracting?
Yes, I do. And
get the salaries in the range where it's going to be more attractive for people to consider Lincoln County?
I think that's certainly the forefront of the motivation. Mm-hmm. The number evolved from the committee that we compiled to talk about this and bring forth some recommendations based on the NACO, the Nebraska Association's salary study. And the more I looked at this, I started to drag my feet a little harder. I'm not sure that sometimes some of these studies are, I think self-serving is probably not the right phrase, but when you start talking about, you know, what is in the array, what's fair, what's competitive, that all is valid to discuss, but at the end of the day, it's our county, our dollars and cents, and so I think we have to be cognizant of what we have to work with. And the 8.27 came from a look back of inflation, and we all know we had terrible inflation for three budget cycles, and it just really clobbered us for tax asking. We flatlined the ask for 3 years, and the fourth year out here, we had to bump it because we simply didn't have any room left to hold it down.
Yeah,
and so the 8.27 came, like I say, Corey, from looking back and saying, well, you know, they missed out on some of that, and the cost of living went up beyond what they got for a raise. But I still believe we're competitive. And again, you know, it's public sector money, and you can't always just say, well, you know, that's the market. You know, I don't think we're that out of line. 4 years ago, we moved them up substantially, and we were behind the eight ball because we hadn't moved it. The board hadn't moved it up over the years. And we were losing the ability to bring people into those positions and see replacements come along. And it's all crucial to, you know, what's necessary in county government. But it's just a balance. And I can't speak for Commissioner Woodruff, but my point was, well, you know, maybe they did, but you know, they were still pretty well compensated.
Right.
At that. And
so
I just,
an additional question that I have with that
bump
up and raises for the row officials next year, is that gonna make you have to squeeze other parts of the budget then?
Well, that's exactly my comment yesterday.
Yeah. Some other people are going to suffer because you're
You're going to have
raises.
You've only got so many dollars, so
yeah.
Something else is going to have to be trimmed. And that was also a point I made yesterday.
Yeah.
Remember this. We can do this. And, you know, people unfortunately take things like this personally, and they shouldn't. It's business. It's flat business. I think all those people do a great job. We've got very good row officials these days, and glad they're there. But it's kind of like, you know, it's I'm going to make the analogy. It's kind of like school teachers, you know. If you've got a really good school teacher, how much is too much money? If you've got a really good corrections officer, and if you've ever toured a jail, you know that's no cakewalk mm-hmm. to work there. How much money is enough to be justified, that you can justify? Well, sure. The truth is, Corey, all these jobs are tough, and they take skill sets and knowledge. And
right.
You can't just, you know, raise rates, compensation rates, based on, you know, yeah. the emotion. You got to yeah. look at the business side.
It's so. Not like you have this big vault of money and no, it's just like, oh, I feel like taking a little more out of it because these people deserve no. more money.
Right, and I, you know, I think they do a fantastic job. Again, I do, but, you know, the inflation cycle, I think, is ended, in my view, and I think I don't think we got that far out of the array as far as compensation. I think we're still very competitive. And let's be honest, if you're being compensated to be a row official in, say, Sarpy County or Saunders County, for example, west of Omaha, that's a different environment than yeah. living in Lincoln County.
Yeah,
cost of living
is
they're not the same.
Higher.
And yeah. you know, we don't get into the weeds on those kind of evaluations and things. Yep. And so sometimes I think we think we're being fair, but I'm not sure that we're being unfair to just simply ask those folks to hold down at 2% or 2.5 or 2.8 and you know, share the burden, but so to speak. But
yeah.
but back to your original question, that's exactly my caution to my colleagues was, you know, I would love to do it, but now that you have done it, we have to figure out where that money comes
you
from.
You might want to switch that vote after it's too late when you're launching into setting the 2027 budget, right?
You know, the sky's I'm not gonna say the sky is falling, but you know, nickels turn into quarters and quarters turn into dollars, and so. Well, it's only this much. Well, put that down, and then here's mm-hmm. another one. And you really have to be brutally honest that, you know, you got to be more analytical than clinical.
It's like our own budgets. I mean, it is. We have to make difficult decisions sometimes about what you don't have the money to spend it on anymore.
Well, the folks paying our bills, you know, the crop report came out yesterday, and I think these corn farmers are too good, you know, they produce mm-hmm. more and the market goes down.
And they went down,
corn went down 10%, I think, or the carryover went up 10%, and they went down 22 cents on cash corn. And these folks are, you know, they're the ones paying the property taxes.
Yep. One more thing, receiving bids for patrol vehicles for the sheriff's office.
Yeah.
Did you accept a bid?
We did not. We actually got kind of a hodgepodge of bids. They ask for bids on pickups and SUVs. Excuse me. And the reason, probably the last 6 years, the sheriff had a really good program going on where we were buying pickups for their department versus cars, which have zero value when you're done with them. They're just a salvage vehicle.
Right.
And pickups, you know, usually have some resale value because everybody
usually
can use a pickup out in this country.
Yep.
So what happened in those years, Corey, was they had a really good rotation system going where they would buy fleet pickups and under a full warranty, and they had a 60,000-mile warranty. Well, we were rolling those back and trading for maybe, you know, $10,000 a unit. And never having to put a wrench on them, and if we did, it was warranted.
Yep.
Well, during COVID, that changed dramatically, and all of a sudden, they wanted $22,000 plus or whatever, and the sheriff said, that's not responsible with the tax dollar. And hats off to him, because he looks at this the same way. And he came to the board and said, I think you should reject all these bids because I can't justify it. I'm going to have to go back, rethink this, and maybe look at SUVs again. So last time, they did just that. And, you know, those units maybe don't resell quite as good as a pickup, but the upfront cost is certainly much less. So yeah. He had some dealers that bid pickups and SUVs. He had one that bid, I believe, SUV only. And so it was three dealers involved in all local dealerships. And so we basically handed those over to the mm-hmm. sheriff and his captain and said, why don't you guys chew these over and peruse them and bring them back Monday or Tuesday.
And we'll deal with it again next week. Kent Weems has been our guest this morning. Appreciate you, sir, and look forward to many chats throughout 2026.
Yes, I do too. Thank you, Corey.